Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
As South African take-home pay reaches new heights and salary growth remains buoyed by easing inflation and interest rates, consumers are starting to see improved purchasing power just in time for the year-end shopping season. I'm joined now by Elise Kruger, independent economist at Bankserv, and let's take a look at some of the trends behind these increases and how they're impacting spending potential. Elise, good evening to you. And first then, what factors contributing most to the rise in take-home pay in September?
Yes, indeed, it's good news, especially given that we've seen an upward trend during the course of the year. So it's definitely showing to me that the better business environment that we have experienced so far in 2024 has made a notable impact in the ability of companies to pay better salaries during this year compared to the previous few years.
So what type of increases are we seeing, or is it off a very low base still?
Yes, it's off a low base, I would say, because last year we had a fairly dismal year for salaries, actually the past 3 years. But if you look at it year to date, our increase in the Banks of Africa data is 6.3% in nominal terms compared to last year's full year. And in real terms, it translates into a 2.2% real increase, which is also quite notable because we haven't had a real increase in this economy at least for 2 to 3 years now.
Does your analysis look at the whole issue sectorally? In other words, are you able to tell us which sectors are doing better than others?
No, unfortunately not. Not the Banks of Africa data, as it's that take-home pay is basically calculated by taking the total value of all salaries paid into bank accounts and clearing through Banks of Africa as a clearinghouse, divided by the number of salaries. So it's really just an average for the economy as a whole. So the sectoral data that we've got in the economy is mostly from Stats SA, and unfortunately that lags a bit. So for now we only have data up till the second quarter. And I think that is also what makes Banks of Africa's data so usable, because it gives us an early indication of the next quarter already, quarter three, compared to waiting still for that data only to be released, I think, early December.
But we have a fairly benign environment, Elise, as you've mentioned. One is more positive news on inflation. We are expecting another 25 basis points cut this year, and also the declining negative impact of load shedding. That has a good impact on consumer confidence, particularly now that there's more money in our pockets.
Absolutely, Jeremy. I think consumer confidence, but also business confidence, it's actually right across the spectrum. And from that point of view, I think, you know, it's a good year for a bit of catch up in terms of salaries, because, you know, businesses have had a very hard time in the South African economy, especially last year and the year before that. So it's been difficult, you know, and to retain your employees and to keep them also happy. It's been difficult because they couldn't actually give a salary increase in line with inflation even. So this year, things are, you know, improving, and that's definitely translating in this type of positive trend that we are seeing on salaries.
So Elise, if we have this positive trend, in other words, real pay increases, how do you see consumer spending patterns shifting in the short to medium term?
Indeed, I think we can see a positive uptick during the next, you know, this well current quarter and into next year as well. I mean, we are heading into Black Friday and, you know, sort of Black November sales, and I think that's going to be pretty good. I mean, if you look at just something like fuel price relief, that is an immediate saving in your pocket. You know, over the past 5 or so months, we've had cumulative relief in the order of about R4.50 per litre, depending on what's happening early next week on fuel prices. We might give back, say, 50 cents, but still cumulatively it's a notable reduction. So that's an immediate saving. And if you then add to that, you know, the lower interest rate scenario, by the time we get to end of November, we should have another 25 basis point cut on the table. So all of those adding, you know, and then you add on that, you know, slightly better confidence levels. You can even throw in the two-pot system that might also give a few more, you know, bucks to be spent in the economy. And you start to see consumer spending lifting up. However, one should remember that there's also a huge debt pile, especially on the household side. So some of this additional cash in the pocket might go to debt relief and not necessarily immediately to consumer spending.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Are you gleaning any early insights about the two-pot retirement system and how the money is being spent?
Jeremy, not specifically, I would say, anecdotal evidence yet, but some survey data from some of the pension funds have indicated, I think it was Old Mutual, saying that 60% of the people they asked, what are you going to do with your savings pot withdrawal, indicated that they will pay back debt. There was also an indication of paying for education. So there's a, you know, so far people has not been saying, I'm going to go out and have a huge spending spree. But, you know, typically if there's extra money in your pocket, you might take a bit for yourself and the rest for the debt or something like that. But we haven't seen actual, I would say, data coming through yet. It's more survey related so far.
BankServe also makes an interesting observation about long-term wage agreements becoming the norm in more sectors. So these agreements are obviously going to impact wage stability. That would have a trickle-down effect on employer cost planning, which makes things a lot easier to manage.
Yes, indeed. You know, so on the one side, that is really positive. I thought about this a lot in the past week, you know, in the light of the debate around inflation targets. And what I was thinking is, you know, positive on the one side, as you mentioned, but on the other side, we have locked in quite, I would say, lucrative wage increases for the unionized sector of the economy. And that will build into the inflation numbers, you know, in the next 4 or 5 years as these wage agreements play out. And say we do have a reduction in our inflation target, you know, then it could remain, you know, a bit of a, I would say, negative for trying to get to a lower target because we have locked in these type of wage agreements quite high salary increases. They're obviously positive for the workers, but for the overall economy, this could be an inflationary factor as we go into an environment where maybe the inflation target gets reduced.
And let me ask you one last question, if I can. We've got the Wednesday mini budget just ahead. Do you think it's going to be able to offer any relief for low to middle income households amid the settling but still concerning inflation environment?
Jeremy, the medium-term budget policy statement is not per se, I would say, the place where there would be relief announced like we normally have in our Feb budget. It's more a medium-term planning event. And in that regard, you know, I would not expect an announcement per se, say about, you know, social grants or about, you know, the SRD grant or so. It's more in the planning. So one would perhaps watch out for sort of if there's additional appropriation for social spending on that side, for instance. But I doubt that we will see a specific announcement, you know, and not typically in the October medium-term statement. It's more in FEEP that we could expect that type of announcement.
Elise Kruger, thank you very much indeed.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.